Welcome to the Dr. Lisa Solsenti podcast, and I am Dr. Lisa. And today we are going to jump in talking about food additives. These are the synthetic additives added to food. And as we talked about in the previous podcast, we were talking about whole foods, like actual foods, right, that are growing in the fields and the farms. And we talked about food sensitivities and looking for the antibodies, the IgG and the IgA to foods. And we had a test where we could look at 180 of them. This is a fascinating topic today because now we're talking about what we add to foods. So they're synthetic additives. And you actually can be sensitive, or I can be sensitive to these two. And we can differentiate the IgG and the IgA to food additives through the testing as well. I want you to think about your food store and think about the outer perimeter, the outer rim of the food stores. It's typically that refrigerated aisle, and they can be set up a little different, but typically if you walk in mine, you're going to see the vegetables first. Not all of them are, you know, on the rim, but that area is going to be more of the fresh foods, right? And you'll go through the vegetables and the fruits, and then you'll kind of like, as you turn and you stay on the perimeter, you tend to go in my food store into the meats. And then as you go down the wall of the perimeter of the food store, you're going to stick with the meats. And then as you turn and come to the other side, you're going to be more in the dairy. And that tends to be how my food store is set up. But for most food stores, if you look at the perimeter, you're on the whole food areas. You're in most of the healthier foods. Now, if you think of the food store in the middle where you have the aisles, you know, clean up on aisle 5, you know, those aisles are typically packaged foods, box foods, processed foods, foods that are made and put into, you know, some form of structure and then put into a box. And if you think of pasta, right, you're going to have the wheat, you're going to process the wheat, you're going to fortify it, enrich it, put it in its little shape that you want, put it into a box and make it a food item and put it on the shelf. A little bit different than walking over and buying a carrot. So what we're talking about with food additives is taking the food package, turning it over, and looking at the ingredients section written on the box or a label, not necessarily the carbohydrates, the protein, and the fat label. You're looking at the ingredients and you're reading the ingredients. And this is where you'll see food additives if they're there. So if you're just looking at a carrot, right, you're probably not going to see anything on the carrot except the little sticker. And if you're in the frozen aisle and you're looking at frozen carrots and you turn it over and the ingredients say carrots, then you know it's just straight up frozen carrots. But sometimes you've got some coloring in there, you might have a preservative in there, and that's where you need to start seeing how far does the food step away from being its original form, its whole food. How many additives are we adding to this food? And I have a theory, the further away you get from the original food, then you're getting into quote food. Like for me, a carrot right out of the ground is food. And then this weird carrot in a bag with all these weird additives to me wouldn't be food. I just don't call food. And if we did, I would put quote food unquote because some of these foods can really be gross. Like fruits, you can actually get, you know, fresh fruit in the aisle, and then you can go into the, I mean, you know, on the perimeter. And then when you go into the aisles, you can get these canned fruits, these fruits that have syrups and dyes, and literally it's not fruit once you've, you know, altered it so much. And this is what we're talking about. It's very fascinating because this is actually one of our newer tests. So I find it just amazing that they can look at additives that was used in food farming, manufacturing, and the processing of food, and then seeing if we have food sensitivities to these or food additive sensitivities. So, you know, you're looking at food additives, which can be added in the process of the growth to the consumption, into the farming, into the manufacturing, the processing. And they will be passed, you know, by the FDA as regarding to be, quote, safe and, unquote. But when you look at some of these and you really study some of them, although they pass this FDA, you know, requirement of being safe, they can create symptoms. When they're alone, or sometimes they're multiple, you know, they're part of multiple ingredients in a food, and they can actually create symptoms in the body. And some of those symptoms can be diarrhea, constipation, nausea, headaches, joint pain, abdominal pain, that cramping, neurological symptoms, some of them that are common are like tingling and numbness, the brain fog that we all get, right? We all talk about fatigue, rashes, common, we know, with food additives and bloating. So some of these can actually cause, you know, symptoms and irritability of systems in the body. So although they're considered safe, they do have links to the body. I know we're going to talk about what they are, but a common one that people most remember are food dyes. And if you're a mom, you may know that food dyes can tend to create problems with, you know, within your child, but also adults. And I know growing up, we were all talking about like red dye was dangerous, but red dyes, blue dyes, what other colors are there? Green, yellow. They are actually neurotoxins and they're made from coal tar. So I actually have an article on my website, a blog article. You would go to drlisasolzenti.com and you can put in, I'm trying to think where it is. I know it's in the sports drink article because we talk about the dyes in sports drinks, and it's in the Halloween candy article because we talk about the dyes in candy. So it's in several of my articles when we talk about food dyes and how they're made from coal tar, and also that they stimulate the nervous system. They're neurotoxins and they're not necessarily good for kids with ADD, focus, brain fog, inability to pay attention, you know, sensory issues, anxiety, behavioral issues, things like that. So although they're approved to be safe through the FDA, they do create issues in the body. Some of these food additives, besides the food dyes and pigments, is we have fluoride, we have nickel. Those are some of the elements found in food. We have what's called emulsifiers. Emulsifiers are interesting. We have two that you might know because you see them most commonly in the foods would be lecithin, and that could be soy or egg, and then polysorbate 80. And there might be some different numbers to polysorbate. There you might see 60, you might see a different number, but polysorbate 80 is one that's the most common. And if you just read about polysorbate 80, if you Google that, that has a whole history within itself, considering not to be good for the body. Flavor enhancers, everyone knows MSG, and we know from the knowledge of our, you know, community that MSG isn't good for the body. I can't use the word safe because they're going to claim it as safe, so I'm going to tell you it's not good for the body, right? And for some people, they do get extreme headaches, they do get high blood pressure, they do get reactions to MSG. So the other ones are sodium citrate. You know, these are all giving flavors to the foods. Ammonium chloride's another one. The gums. So the gums are interesting because they can be in health foods too. So here's another thing that people think about where they're like, well, I'm in the health food aisle. You know, I'm still in a packaged aisle, right? I'm still in the aisles. I'm not in the perimeter. And they're looking at these foods that are supposed to be health foods. So a lot of them, and also the non-health foods, have what's called thickening agents in them. And these are usually gum. So guar gum, mastic gum. They also might have locust bean gum, xanthan gum, things like that. And you could be looking at dressings. You might be looking at, a common one is really the milk. So if you're looking at oat milk, almond milk, soy milk, coconut milk, these are thickener agents, right? And think about it. If you're going to break open a coconut and drink the coconut milk, it's a bit watery. So they're going to add some gums to thickening this, give it that nice milky feeling, that creamy feeling. So we could actually test to see if your body's attacking, just like a food trigger, which is still a food trigger, but it's an additive. And if you're making antibodies to one of the gums or one of the dyes or one of the elements or emulsifiers or anything like that, flavor enhancers. So we can see if you're creating antibodies at a high level to these additives in the foods. And the best thing to do is to avoid the one that gets flagged red and is really high and, you know, avoid it. Some of the other food additives we look at are preservatives, antioxidants, things that are going to keep the shelf life of the food longer. So there's something called BHA, which is a butylated hydroxyanisole, and a butylated hydroxytoline, which is BHT. You might just see the word BHA and BHT on the ingredients list. Citric acid, that's a very, very common one that keeps the shelf life of something going. Sorbic acid's another. Sodium sulfite. sodium benzoate, sodium nitrate, things like that. Actually, formaldehyde, typically more in some of the medicines, can be a preservative also. And you can react to these, you can attack these, and these can create symptoms in the body. So these are what we're talking about. We actually can finally, I get really kind of passionate, excited about this. Maybe it's the geek in me, but the fact that we can blood test somebody and see if they have antibodies to these and their immune system's really struggling dealing with them. So it's quite fascinating. And then we actually look at sweeteners, because think about this. Sugar, right? It's definitely added to foods, right? But if you're on the perimeter looking at, you know, something like an apple, it just has a natural safe sugar in it, right? But when we get into the boxed and the packaged foods, we start sneaking in these other sugars. And I have to say that I have to give kudos to food industry for being able to bring out many various different sweeteners or alternatives that have done really well with making people afraid of a fruit sugar, and instead they'll go to something like an alcohol sugar or something, you know, different. And what I do through my testing is we can test regular cane sugar. I could test each individual fruit, right? But I also can get into all these alternative sugars. So we have aspartame, erythritol, mannitol, monk fruit, saccharin, stevia, Splenda, which is really sucralose, xylitol, etc. So we can look at even cane sugar, and we can look at these sugars and see if your body is attacking those. And I think this is really, really crucial, because in today's society with nutrition, a lot of people stick to fads. They stick to social media from what they hear or see, which is kind of like a fad, right? They'll stick to challenges. They love those things. And they really love diets. I don't know, when the new one comes up, all your friends have to try it. So, you know, whether, and a lot of diets, by the way, are the same diets from the 80s, just renamed to something new. So I know people don't see that, but you know, the younger generation wouldn't know. So they swear by it, right? Because they'll do a diet and they'll lose weight, or and they're feeling great. And this is all, and it's not a bad thing. Like, the blood pressure comes down, the glucose starts going down. And, you know, really it is that they started changing their diet to a healthier diet, you know, their lifestyle. But they can get stuck on sugars. They really can get stuck here. And this is where sweeteners really come into fads and diets. And I feel that when I see somebody, whether they're paleo, and I'm going to use the current diets for now, but if they're going to do paleo or Mediterranean or keto, or they're going to do, the old one would be like South Beach, which is still actually used, or if they're going to do pescatarian, vegan, vegetarian, or anything like that, I have people come to me and goes, I really, really love it. It really works for me. I don't want to give it up, but I don't feel good. And what we do is we say, all right, let's just, for now, look at the foods within the diet that you love that are the ones that your body's attacking, and let's remove those. And then once we do that, let's look at what's remaining and see if we can continue with this diet, if it's feasible for you. And a lot of times it works out. So for example, I'm going to use keto as an example because it's very common, and I have had people who do not want to give it up. But I know somebody with a food sensitivity, like cheese came up. So I'm like, all right, we need to remove cheese, but can you move forward with the keto without that? And that's where the discussion comes in. And I remember somebody coming up with, they couldn't do erythritol and mannitol. So I was like, all right, if you're not going to do regular sugars and you really, really want to do alcohol sugars, is xylitol okay for you? So that's what's lovely about these tests, because we can many times keep people on something that they love, they're afraid to move away from, and then we look at what within that diet, what is not working well for their body, and we remove that and stop the inflammation and stop the gut issues and all the symptoms that come with leaky gut. And if you don't know what a leaky gut is, if you just came into this podcast, please go back to the podcast before these, because I go over so much information. And one of my goals is to keep these, you know, short and concise, but jam-packed, so you can learn a lot on one topic. So leaky gut, if you don't know what that is, go back and listen to that one, because that's a jam-packed podcast. So food additives are really interesting. I kind of went through the ones that we test for you and some of the symptoms. What I wanted to just leave you with about food additives is, yes, typically food additives are in the boxed aisles of the food store, correct? And not everything in the boxed aisles are bad, but a lot of them are synthetically made. And I want you to keep in mind when you're going through the boxed aisles that, you know, think about the food item. That's what I want to call it. Some of them to me are not food, so I call them food items. Think about that product in front of you. If you turn it over and read the ingredients, those are the additives. And you want to be able to know what each one of those are. Once you start getting into words you don't know, you need to Google them. And then you need to really start asking yourself, is this ingredient really good for me? And then if it's a lot of them, you really have to start questioning, because these become toxins in the body. These are synthetically made, and the body doesn't recognize a lot of them. And this is where the liver works really hard to remove toxins. It's a whole nother part of what I do, is help detoxing the body, really just trying to get toxins out, it's part of being, let's put it this way, is getting rid of inflammation. So that's really important. And you want to really, you know, be careful of food additives, man-made foods, synthetic foods. Fortifying a food is adding something synthetically back into a food. It's adding an additive. Even the vitamins added in, you're like, wow, there's vitamins in here. They're synthetically made. If you go over to Whole Foods, if you go over to which people, believe me, they've done a fantastic job. I have to give kudos. I'm going to clap my hands. They've done a fantastic job convincing us that vegetables and fruit are dangerous. Believe me, it's there for a reason, to get you over to the box aisles. But I assure you, the ingredients that are in, the micronutrients that are in the fruits and vegetables, are what your body needs. And that's where you really want to be. These fortified, these enriched foods, these fake things going into the foods, you're going to think, oh, well, there's vitamins in here. No. Not a good thing if you're going over and you're trying to avoid the fruits and the vegetables. If so many people come to me and it's like, I just can't stand vegetables. I'm like, well, why is that? Why is that? Because what these food additives do to your body, they trick the brain, the blood, and the palate. It's three things I work on any time I'm presenting some kind of program or diet to somebody. You want to focus on three things: food perception with the brain, or addiction, body, which would be the blood. I'm sorry, the brain, the blood, and the palate. Couldn't get the word blood out. And what I mean by that is the palate will be so used to certain tastes, and that's where things become addictive. I know people that literally have so much of diet soda, they can't get off it. It's almost like a cigarette. And or they get used to the taste of salt, or they have to have sugary foods, or they start craving them. And this is where this addiction comes with the palate. You're used to one taste. That's why vegetables will taste gross, because they don't taste like that. And the blood starts craving these chemicals in these foods, these additives. And a lot of these additives are addictive. And you can see that again with someone who's addicted to the, you know, sodas that have no calories, but they have these addictive type of chemicals in them. And I'm not making that up. You can find the research in that one. And so the brain too, right? Brain chemistry. This is huge. And so parents, if you've got kids that can't pay attention, can't focus, inability to, you know, pay attention, control themselves, sensory anxiety, inability to like calm down and do all that. I don't know how else to say this, but you have to look at your child's foods. And you can tell me they're picky. You could tell me that it's very difficult. You could tell me all you want, because I have been down that road and I fully understand this. But I am also going to tell you that this, the brain is controlled by food. So you can either feed it really, really well and you'll get good results, or you can feed it very poorly and you're going to get poor results. And regulating the brain has got to do with what you feed it, and also how healthy your child's nervous system is and gut, which I'm a chiropractor and I deal on those two things. But the third thing as a mom is you're the one making the food for the child. The child's not doing it for themselves. And what you're feeding your child is going to matter to, obviously, the child's whole health, but the brain. So I'm telling you, these additives affect the brain. You can actually go research this one too, and it's out there. So that is today's with food additives. Very fascinating. One of the most new, that's like a newer topic, but I absolutely just love it. So thanks for listening, and I'll see you at the next podcast.